on part one of Silicon Valley to Shaman.
Interestingly enough, like early on in my life, I had these, you know, these sort of near-death experiences, which, but I kind of dismissed all that.
Well, don't dismiss it here, please.
But it'd be like watching a meteor fly through the sky or something. And you'd kind of go, a kind of skeptical, I don't know how I would say it, but sort of like not easily falling or being pulled into, not drink, you know, I wasn't a Kool-Aid drinker, right? Uh-huh. I don't know how else to say it. But I was kind of just going to sit back and go, okay, yeah, I don't know about that. But it required a kind of big, obvious thing. So what happened was because I had started to actually go out and experience shamans and go to workshops and do healing workshops. And, you know, I was a good massage therapist. I could heal people with my hands and people would go, wow, you know, that told something happened. And, you know, so I'd get these little hints.
So how old were you at that time?
So this was, how old was I? This was my late 20s, I think, by that time.
Okay.
And so working as an engineer, and I wasn't for a good chunk of the early 20s. And all the way up into my 30s for like the 19, you know, the 90s. I was working literally in high tech and all this and traveling around the world and busy doing, focusing on that. But in the weekends and evenings, I would still run off into the hills and look for the shamans and healers because it was fascinating me, right? And I wanted to have as many of those experiences as I could and learn as much as I could. So I was taking a lot of the workshops and doing things like that, but it still hadn't registered as something unique or special within me. It was like, I studied, I've read this stuff. I understand that it's in my brain. I've had some experiences. I can help people. I can answer questions better than others can for them. Sometimes I can heal them sometimes with my hands and this and that, but I never really put two and two together. And it wasn't until I went to this one healer, a really great healer named Dr. Richard Baldwin out of San Francisco at the time. And he was sort of one of these, you know, he was a chiropractor, but he would do this extra sort of energy medicine stuff, right? And back then nobody really understood much what it was per se, or didn't call it shamanism. But basically I went in one day, he'd already done a lot of other work for me, physical stuff, emotional stuff. And I went in and I said, what is my purpose? I finally have gotten tired of doing the engineering work. I wanted to find another job. Mm-hmm. What would be my joy? And all, because I'd read all the books, right? And, and he said, he went off into an altered state and he came back and he said,
the guides are giving me the words mediator of souls between worlds.
And I literally did not know what that meant. He didn't know what it meant. And we both sat there and went, that's weird. I don't know what that is. I don't see it on a business card. I don't know what kind of job that is. Maybe a cross between a priest and a lawyer. I don't know. It's some strange thing. And
can I get you to take one breath here? Because I want to tease this out just a little bit.
Sure.
This is awesome. No, it's awesome, John. So here you are at a moment in your life where you, sounds like you had a sense of the spiritual reality, meaning enough stuff had happened in your life that it was validated at a pretty deep level. However, that path of the Spartan, you were still honoring that. So you'd moved into the world as an engineer, you'd stepped into that. Mm-hmm. You had two sorts of frameworks in terms of your mind. You had the skeptic, right? That there was a healthy skeptic. I'm not just buying into something for the sake of buying into it. Mm-hmm. You had some sort of internal test. Mm-hmm. But at this point in your life, in the mid-20s, mid to late 20s, you're starting to get a sense that maybe your path isn't the one for you. You're plugging in on the weekends to other healers where it sounds like to me, from this side, mm-hmm. that's where you're getting the opportunity to take a breath every once in a while and exercise that other part of yourself. Mm-hmm. So here you are at this next crisis. This is like the transition crisis of where you're starting to look at your purpose. You go to this chiropractor who's also a healer, right?
Yeah.
And you finally exercise the courage in your own life to go, wait, this isn't working. How, help me out with my purpose. And you get a message.
Yes.
Am I tracking you right?
Totally.
Perfect. Okay. So what did you do with that information?
Nothing. He goes, don't worry. It'll find you. You know, it'll be one of those things. He literally said, like, you'll pick up the paper that fell behind the toaster and you'll go to the workshop or whatever. It'll be one of these things you don't even, you forget about. And I literally did. I forgot about it. I didn't have, you know, he didn't say go become a doctor. He didn't give me a specific answer. Right. So I just kept working, you know, as this engineer and doing all that kind of stuff. And I finally had the courage or the desperation at some point. The company was having its typical layoffs, and I begged my boss to lay me off. Hmm. I was done, and I could take time off. My wife was working as a nurse at that point, and so she could cover some of the expenses. And we're living very modestly, so I said, I'm gonna step away. And I literally stepped out of that, and I sat. I did nothing, which was excruciating. It was torture, right, for me. And I wanted to grow a little garden where we were living, and my wife's, you know, being the grounding force in my life, said, you better learn how to do that before you just start doing it.
Wow.
So I went and worked for a CSA. I went and worked as an apprentice farmer.
But what did that communication process look like? This could be helpful for the listeners out there that might be navigating some sort of path like the one you're talking about.
Hmm.
So when you step away from the sense of security that comes from being plugged into a working role like that,
yeah, and productivity,
and you turn to your family and say, I don't think this is working. How did you communicate that in a way that your wife could understand, or did she understand?
We were just cool that way. Like, it was, she'd gone through the same thing, and I'd sort of paid her way through nursing school and stuff. And
gotcha.
School. So we already kind of had a thing where it's like, whatever you want to do, it's cool. So that was fortunate. And I had a little severance kind of package, right? So I probably had a year's worth of sort of money anyway.
Mm-hmm. So you had some runway.
I was doing okay. Yeah.
What about the rest of your family?
You know, I, to some degree, fortunately, the rest of my family are not big communicators, so didn't have to really explain much mm-hmm. to them.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of, I don't even remember what that was like, but it was.
So they were in the background, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, they were in the back, and I think, you know, they understood. I wasn't looking that healthy, frankly, from the work at that point. I was traveling a lot, and it was rough. Life's a struggle. Long hours. And so it was like, yeah, cool. Take a break and do something different just to sort of create space and time and step away. And it was then that I found the book Shaman Healer Sage by Dr. Alberto Villalda. And it was I hadn't read yet. It was a new book at the time. And it was just so comprehensive and made sense to me and was very practical and pragmatic and process oriented. And I liked the way Alberto looked. He was professional. He was a psychologist. So I decided to look and, you know, and literally go to his workshop. He had like a 3-day workshop at Esalen coming up in a couple of weeks after I finished the book. And I got in and I went down, and I'd been to Esalen a couple of times already doing massage training, all that kind of stuff. And so I was happy to go down there for a few days and do this, and got the last seat, which was interesting. Mm-hmm. And as I'm driving down, the condors were flying, you know, near for a moment. So I was already kind of hip to all the signs. And
then cool. You're a last born riding in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I sat, I could see there was, you know, we got into the room, a circle of seats, and there was like a wolf skin or something on one of the seats. And I thought, that's probably Alberto's seat. I'm going to sit right next to him, and, you know, be the best participant in the workshop, because, you know, I got to be the best at everything.
Right.
And I sit down, and he comes in, and he sits down, and literally the first words out of his mouth in this shamanic introductory course were,
"A shaman is just a mediator of souls between the worlds."
So that was the wake up, right? That's the answer to your question. That was the undeniable, like, oh my God, 3 years earlier, this other guy told me that's my purpose, that's my work, that's my life. And Alberto equates it to shaman and the process in his book and the training and the whole nine yards. And it scared the heck out of me, honestly, because mm-hmm. it seemed to require a sort of level of skills and gifts that I didn't put two and two together that I had. You know what I mean? Like, I had shut a lot of that stuff down. So it wasn't like I was walking around, like, knowing I was some kind of, you know, super psychic healer.
Here you are now, you've stepped into, you've got an acknowledgement. The message comes full circle. You actually hear the same words and you're like, oh crap.
Yeah.
That's what this is. Now I get run away from it.
Yeah.
So there's an inner turmoil that starts to show up, and it's, you're getting a sense of the mountain that needs to be climbed.
Yes.
What did you do with that? How'd you move through that?
Well, first I went to the bathroom. I was scared. I mean, I was just, my knees were shaking. I was just like, I didn't know what to do other than to sit there and just continue to show up with the required courage, I guess. But, you know, so we did a little, this was kind of cool because this is an important piece of this, frankly. So he did a little demonstration. He had a woman stand up, and he had two other people come up, put their hands on her and say, okay, what do you see? What are you reading in her energy field, in her body, and this and that, right? And mm-hmm. the woman before me said something, and I was like, you know, oh my God, like I don't know how to do this, and I got to just make something up because I can't just say nothing. And so I kicked in my imagination, and I said, I see this, whatever it was, something inside attached to her spine or something, this and that. And sat down and just sort of was, honestly, I was probably in shock at that moment anyway, as you can imagine. I was hardly present at that point. And then the thing went on, and then there was a lunch break, and I saw Alberto walking, and I ran up to him and I said, Alberto, I think this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, what do you think? Can I be a shaman? And he said, oh, yeah. He goes, you're like already there. You, what you read in that woman was exactly right. You know, this was the energy pattern, et cetera, et cetera. And you could just like do a little bit of this training and you're good to go. And that was huge, right? Because then that gave me just enough sort of like courage, I guess, to go, all right, I'm going to do the training. And so I did. I dove into his training, the Four Winds Society Healing the Light Body School. And like everything else, I did the 3-year program in a year by sort of taking classes out of order and running around the country wherever
there's
they
the
were.
The engineer, yeah.
It was that, right? Yeah. The I got to do this. And, you know, it was really expensive. I put it all on credit cards, and I worked in between time doing massages, you know, lunch and breakfast and breaks, and just to try and pay for it. And, you know, trip to Peru to work with the Caro, his Caro teachers and the jungle shamans and the whole nine yards. And, but the cool thing was, is one of the first classes, this was also important, this woman who was a very intimidating woman, sort of middle-aged, tall, dark, serious, double, you know, degrees in psychology. I mean, it was like a force to be reckoned with. And, you know, and she walks up to me somewhere in the training and goes, "I want you to work on me." And I went, oh God, you know, I was just like, I'm going to be destroyed my first class. Like I'm going to run home. Like, this is it. I can't be a shaman. Like, I'm going to. So again, an act of power, right? An act of courage. I said, okay. And we set up the time and I sat down and I did the things they taught me to do. And I, again, was feeling like I'm not sure I know what I'm doing. I don't really, you know, I'm not so confident that I see what I see, et cetera. But I did the work and I said what I saw and everything. And she got up and she said, "I felt that and it cleared. You did it. I've been working on this for 10 years. No one's ever been able to help me with this. And you did it." And it was just like, wow, really? You know, like, amazing, you know, because I didn't feel like I was doing, it wasn't like all the other work I'd done where you knew you were working, digging a ditch or, you know, solving a problem. Right. It was like,
it's not a little green light that goes on and says, ding.
Or it says, you know, good work, John, work harder, you know, like you can't work harder. Anyway, so that was profound. And that, I think, sort of cemented it, right? That was like, all right, like, if I could work on her and live, you know, then I could do anything.
So let me wrap this up for the listener so we can get your key insight out of this. So the message comes full circle. You lean into it. You're like, everything inside of you is saying, I'm not sure I could do this,
right.
But the act of courage, there's an act of power where you lean into it anyway.
Yeah.
All along the way, there's the insecurity that you're working through in the process,
yes.
But you're getting signals along the way that you're on the path. In your wake-up call, and considering the entire swing of the arc of that story, from going from the Spartan to the weekend, what we could call the weekend farmer, and connecting to maybe to the healing community on the weekends, to breaking away from the working culture, to leaning into your initiation experience, to the insecurity that happens when you're in it, and then finally you're on the other side. What key insight would you give to the listener about your wake-up call experience?
It doesn't have to be certain, and it doesn't ever have to be comfortable, because those same feelings happen to me 10,000 sessions later. Mm-hmm. You know, this work never makes you feel like you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. It's the nature of it. And so you always have to show up as that act of power. You always have to, in spite of the fears and the doubts and questions, you have to keep showing up, and it's never going to feel like you got it. You're there.
So there's two things that I hear you saying you have to hold, and it sounds very difficult. And it happens to be something that I'm familiar with. There's this incredible vulnerability that you have to be aware that you might have to step into an experience without an acknowledgement, and carrying courage at the same time. Those two things aren't contradictory. You're actually holding both of those things at the same time.
Yes.
So what do you do now? We're going to move into your flow a little bit. To maintain the integrity that you need to be able to do the work, what practices do you put in place to keep the ship moving in the right direction?
you know, the training was really key in this, because there's some beautiful ritual mythic practice. We call it the mythic, because it's addresses the unconscious aspect of our being. But so, for example, instead of like sitting and meditating, I do this cleansing, you know, this cutting of cords and cleansing of my chakras every day. Mm-hmm. So the shower, I unwind my chakras and rinse my hand in the water. And then, you know, in between sessions and such, I do this kahuna break thing where I could just slice my hand down the front of my body and up. Okay, I go to my altar, which again is part of that mythic connection to the world of spirit. It's a physical representation that helps anchor your relationship with spirit in, you know, into this world. And so I go there and I might, you know, light a candle, do a little prayer of gratitude to my team, you know, forces, and that's it. You know, fortunately, I'm working enough. You know, I don't think a day goes by that I'm not, I don't think I ever have an actual full day off where I don't do some session for somebody. But, you know, in that, I'm opening sacred space each time. And, you know, so I get a lot of that just by virtue of the work itself. Mm-hmm. So I don't do much more than that in terms of personal practice. That the challenge then becomes, quite honestly, being grounded. The challenge becomes staying in the physical world in a very practical way and not always being on and being carried off into the altered state.
How do you counsel people that come to you that that may have the instinct that moving into a spiritual role means tapping out?
Well, yeah, I mean, because it's a lot of the way we've been, a lot of our spiritual practices and traditions, most of which I've been through, right, that's sort of like they see that as the goal in a way. I think the fallacy is that you can't have both. And shamans understand there's no separation of spirit and matter. Mm-hmm. That was sort of bogus to begin with. And so we don't make it hierarchical that one is better than the other. You know, spirit's better than matter, this and that. So, yeah.
So where do you see yourself headed, John? Here you are, because we're wrapping up here. Here you are, a shaman that's been practicing for a while. You've stepped into the vulnerability that role takes, and the courage that takes to do that each and every day. You have practices that keep you in balance with both, that keeps you in touch with both the spiritual reality of nature and also just practical life. Mm-hmm. Where do you see yourself going in your work, and what are your goals for yourself as you move forward?
Okay, well, what I'm seeing is more, and it just sort of speaks to kind of apparently never ending until I guess the whole vision it comes manifests for humanity at some point, but sort of never ending need to step in to new arenas. So I'm working with, you know, a CEO leadership company that I'm part of their team now. And, you know, I'll be working with people that aren't the kind that would even, you know, through word of mouth, which is how I get most of my work, like show up and want to get a session with me. Mm-hmm. You know, these are going to be people now who, by virtue of working with this team of consultants, will get some of my work. And so a whole nother level of my sort of requirement to bridge, right, the gap and make it effective and comfortable and you know, for everybody involved, or at least them, maybe not me.
So that might represent your growing edge a little bit as a healer for you.
That's my growing edge. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, like, you know, I just, the way I word it is the lineage just keeps putting me places. Mm-hmm. And because I can.
Right. And I also hear in terms of the story that you shared today, that's part of the worlds that you understand. You understand how to navigate the professional environment. So maybe it's part of you coming back full circle a little bit to serve that community as well.
Absolutely.
Well, John Rasmussen, thanks so much for sharing the gift of your story on the Pioneers of Insight.
It was an honor to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Jerry. This was really great.
All right, folks, that's a wrap. If you enjoyed the episode, please leave a review on whatever platform you're listening to. This just helps put it in the hands of the people likely to get something out of it. If you'd like to dig a little deeper and see what we got cooking here at TUI Media, you can visit our website at tuimedia.com. Wishing you grace to fill your sails today. Stay great in the meantime, and I'll see you on the next Pioneers of Insight.
Done. What I've learned over the years is that there's an easy way and a hard way to do everything.